Hey, everybody, and welcome to a competitive Wild Ride with Steve-O. I do believe this might be the first single episode where we've had two different guests, and both of them are about to get into the octagon and try to hurt each other as much as they possibly can. We're talking about Sean O'Malley and Chito Vera. UFC 299 this weekend. We are here in Miami, and it is going down. So we talked to both of these guys. They're both unflappably confident. Sean O'Malley has become just about every bit the star that he said he would. And Chito is basically just a terrifying gangster. Really interesting to talk to both of these guys. I consider them both friends. It's really tough to pick the fight. I went ahead and did that anyway. Stick around to the end of the episode and you're going to get my picks. But more on that later. For now, let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, people of the universe, I bring to you Suga Sean O'Malley.
I'm here.
Yes.
Good to see you, dude.
Good to be seen, brother.
It's really rad, man. I get a kick out of, if I come up with an idea or a question or something, I'll just FaceTime you out of nowhere. Yeah. And, you pick up, man. It's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I consider you a bro.
Thank you, bro.
And we first had you on the Wild Ride podcast.
In Phoenix.
Yep.
In Phoenix. Yep. I mean, dude, that was 2021. So, a good, healthy, long time ago.
Yeah.
And, your episode performed fantastically well all the way back then. And people are accusing you of not being a star because of, there's some shows you've been on that didn't have huge numbers.
Well, when millions of people accuse you of not being a star.
You're a star.
You're a star.
You're a star. There's absolutely no question that you're a star. I remember we talked to Danny Trejo, and he was all about fighting and boxing. He was like a prison boxing champion. And he said that fighting gods are very jealous gods. And if you distract yourself by pursuing acting or anything like that, the fighting gods will smite you.
Yeah.
But then it occurs to me that during fight week, they've got you doing so much press, so much interviews and obligations that it wouldn't it kind of serve you to already be able to handle some distraction?
Yeah, I mean, the work's already done, though. You know, what you do the last 12 weeks before the fight is kind of where you can't be distracted. Fight week, it's not like we're learning new shit or trying to get in shape. We've done it all. We've done the work. Now we promote the fight. So it is what it is. You know, we're running low on calories. And, I could feel better, but I don't feel too bad. And it's not, I enjoy doing this stuff. So I'd rather be doing this than, with just sitting there thinking about food.
Do you have more weight to cut, or are you there?
Yeah, I know. It's Wednesday right now, so we got, obviously, Thursday. Thursday night's when you really, that's when you hit the hot tub and you really get the rest of the weight off. So, yeah, still got a good amount to cut, but, I've done it 18, 19 times. It works out.
Yeah. Oof. You've been talking about going up to featherweight. Is that...
That's more so just, I'd like to fight Ilya. I think it's a big fight. Yeah. I'm a bantamweight. I like this weight class. I'm going to stick here for a little bit. But also, you never fucking know. I could change my mind in 2 months. But for right now, I'm a bantamweight. I would love that to fight Ilya if he continues to be the champ. I continue to do my thing. That's a big fight down the line.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a little big. He's short.
Yeah. I mean, on your behalf, watching Merab against Cejudo, mm-hmm. I thought, Merab looked kind of scary. And same thing with Ilya against Volk.
Yeah.
On your behalf.
I mean, Ilya looked scary. Ilya put Volk's lights out.
Mm-hmm.
What did Merab do? Yeah. Barely beat up, he did barely beat him 1-2 rounds. I mean, 2-1. against Henry, who looked like he was about 52 years old. Like, if you want to talk about scary, like Ilya was scary.
Ilya was scary.
Mrab's got that crazy pace to where, I mean, it is scary if you gas someone out and they can't defend themselves, you know. But Ilya's, I mean, if we're using the word scary, that's Ilya, not necessarily Mrab. Mrab's a very dangerous opponent, but Ilya's scary.
Yeah. This fight with Cheeto, I'm gonna tell on myself. I thought maybe I just had some weird memory, but I thought that the last time you fought Cheeto, that what happened with your leg was the result of masterful leg kicking on Cheeto's part, and Scott really pushed back on that. Scott says he sent me the fight. He said, dude, you have to watch the fight again. And really nothing happened to your leg, but like what happened?
I mean, he threw the kick. I mean, the argument, like he threw the kick. He did throw the kick. It hit my perineal nerve. How many times has that happened in fights since then? You know, that to where their leg completely shuts off. And yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I've never lost sleep over it. You know, here we are 3.5 years later and I get to, you know, rewrite it.
Yeah, but like the last time he kicked you, you know, and until when that incident happened, like had been like minutes.
Well, he hit my nerve and I kept rolling my ankle. I rolled my ankle probably 6-7 times in the fight because I, you know, lost this motion of my foot. So I got what was called drop foot. So every time I would walk forward, my foot wouldn't come up. It would bend down. So I kept rolling over my ankle. But yeah, I'm not going to deny he threw the kick. It was him, Cheeto. He threw the kick. It landed on my nerve. But it wasn't, people are saying it was a calf kick. That was, you know, your calf's near that area, obviously. But if you land a calf kick, it doesn't do that. So that's my argument, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, and I was impressed with your legs kicks. Those really went well.
I was spinning him in circles, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were definitely throwing some heat. I just said that, man, I just think that Sean's just improved so much.
I have.
You know, I confronted him about the, you know, what they called slow starting.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like he said, oh, well, he controlled his fight. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's reserving energy. I mean, 25 minutes is an insane amount of time to fist fight somebody. So, you know, you gotta, everyone has different styles. Everyone has different strategies. That's kind of his style, is kind of start slow a little bit, you know, absorb some damage and then come on the later rounds. So. You know, that's kind of his style.
That's darn right. And people have different motivations, too. My motivation is to save the world, just like the good people at Liquid Death. Why do we need to save the world? Because if we don't curb plastic waste, plastic is going to outweigh fish in the ocean by 2050. Something needs to be done. We need to bring death to plastic, and that's why it's called Liquid Death, because they're bringing death to plastic with infinitely recyclable cans of water, which look like beers, and it's just a lot of fun. There are always kids getting in trouble at school because their teachers think they're drinking a beer, and the company loves that. I love it too. I love everything about the company. And if you think I look healthier these days, you're darn right I do. A big piece of that is because I'm drinking more water. And you should be drinking more water too, and it should be Liquid Death water. You can find it at your local 7-Eleven, Walmart, Target. I mean, it's literally everywhere. The company is blowing up. You can also get it with free shipping on Amazon Prime. That's Liquid Death, the sparkling water, the flavored sparkling water, the still water, the iced tea, all of the flavors. I mean, the company is doing great things. I love the company. You should support them and do your part to save the world, too. You can also go to liquiddeath.com/stevo to get all kinds of fun stuff, great merch, great beverages. And one more time, let's save the world by supporting Liquid Death. That's right. And let's get back to it. He's never been finished, too.
Never been dropped.
Never even dropped.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at it. He has this the record for, he has like 3 hours and 59 minutes in the octagon.
Yeah, that's just
a long fucking time.
He's got a lot of records, man.
He's been in the UFC for a long time. He's got a ton of fights, very experienced, very durable, very dangerous opponent.
You would think, too, that you've got such a reach advantage and an inch and a half. I mean, he's a long dude, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely not like one of these shorter guys like Henry or Mirab or Peter or, you know, he's a decent-sized bantamweight as well.
Yeah. and saying, okay, man, this is your first time getting pay-per-view points.
And it's trending very well.
I bet it is. A big fat F you to all of this whole, oh, they're stacking the card because, like, what even is that? Oh, they're stacking the cards so that you get more pay-per-view points.
Yeah, that is the narrative. But, you know, if you look historically at every time they've came to Miami, they put on crazy cards. Yeah. You know, it's not because, oh, Sean, the UFC wants Sean to be a star. Like, yeah, UFC wants a lot of people to be stars, but very few are stars because you got to go out there and perform. Look at my highlight reel. It's insane. Like, that's giving the UFC promo. They're not just pushing my name just so you see my name everywhere. They're showing you my highlights, and you guys fucking love it and eat it up, so they just keep, you know, coming.
There's nothing that I love more than a walk-off knockout, and I say that because there's not a lot that I hate more than unconscious fighters absorbing unnecessary shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't. I cannot stand to see an unconscious fighter getting hit more times.
Yeah.
And I really want to beg the UFC. I want to beg Dana to not give 50 grand fighter bonuses to any fighter who follows up with an unnecessary shot.
It's hard because when you're in the moment in the arena, I've knocked so many people out. I know what it feels like. But when you're a wrestler, or you're somebody that's never really knocked someone out, you knock someone out for the first time, it's like, you got to make sure they're knocked out. The guy, you know, it's some people, you know when someone's knocked out. Some people, it's like you fight until the ref gets in between you. And if you knock someone out and they're laying there and the ref's not, you know, he's standing back too far, you got to make sure the dude's out. So I see both sides. I don't necessarily love seeing someone get hit with an extra shot either. But it is, you know, if the ref's trying to hold you back and you're still landing shots, then it's, you know, then it gets questionable. But, you know, we're in there to put people's lights out and make sure they're out.
Do you know when you connect, you're like, oh, that guy's out. Is there like a feeling that you get like a corked bat? Like,
yeah. You know, when you put or when you're hurt enough, like the Thomas Almeida fight, for example, like I dropped him twice.
Yeah.
Both times could have been stopped. They weren't. So, you know, that one ended the way it did. And
that was when you walked off, and then you walked back, and then walked off again.
Yeah. So it has, I mean, hey.
Two walk-offs in one fight.
Yeah, three.
Three.
Yeah, dude, amazing. So tell me about the ranch, dude. I just bought a ranch.
Yeah, where's you where at?
I'm in Tennessee.
Okay, sweet. I bet there's some honeys out there. Not that you're looking, but.
your ranch is in Arizona?
Yep, I got a little farm. I mean, what's the difference between a ranch and a farm?
I think that
you can't eat farm.
I think they're ranch, very, you can, like, very interchangeable. I think ranch is more of a
dressing,
a macho man kind of a property.
And I got a farm. No, I got you know, chickens, a cow that doesn't do anything, just a fucking random pet cow, no milk,
no
beef, just wandering around, and then a tortoise.
How many acres is it?
I got four right now, but 5 acres. Well, there was 5 for sale right behind my house, but now they're saying, well, they might only sell half. So I'm trying to get all 5. I would love to start building the compound out there, and so that's the goal.
And the farm, it's not where you live? Like where the?
No, I live there. I'm living there right now. Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's epic, man.
I love it. I fucking love it. It's peaceful. It's, you know, I'm raising a daughter out there, going to get the eggs, the fresh eggs, just having to be able to walk around, play in the dirt, swing on the trees, and it's fucking perfect.
Dude, yeah. Epic. How's the Happy Dad money?
Yeah, well, Happy Dad is, you know, they're all the money they make, they're putting it back into the business. You know how that goes. Waiting, you know, make the money, put it right back in. But I will say it's booming. Happy Dad's doing fucking incredible. They just crushed it in Canada. They're coming to Montana, my home state, which is going to be pretty cool. But yeah, they're crushing.
They cannot produce enough of that stuff.
Exactly. I mean, that's the name of the game, is just fucking getting it out, because it's selling.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy.
With just business-wise, like, what, like, how are you setting yourself up for beyond the career?
Yeah, I mean, just making sure if I'm doing brand deals, not doing let's do a 5-year deal. It's like, hey, let's do a 6-month, 9-month, 12-month deal, because I'm about to fucking be... You know, I'm growing so much, so fast right now. So just aligning myself with brands that make sense, first of all. And then, you know, t- time frame wise, money wise, it's all got to make sense. But I've been doing pretty big brand deals for a long time now. I kind of felt like I was the champ before I was the champ because I was making the most money in the division. I was, you know, the most popular in the division. But now that I'm actually the champ, the brand, I mean, they're beautiful. I enjoy this part of the game.
I mean, dude, to your credit, you said, I'm going to be a star. I'm going to be famous. Like, you really called it a long time ago.
Early on. Before, I mean, on the Contender Series, I was telling, I'm like, hey, you guys are going to, I'm going to be bigger than Conor someday. You know, but I feel like a lot of people do say that, so it's kind of like brushed off. But when I said it, I meant it, and, you know, here we are.
It's incredible.
Fucking insane.
It's you got a fleet of cars over there at the farm?
Not as much anymore. Well, I still have the Lambo, but I'm gonna get rid of that. It's just fucking, I feel like every other day I'm like, gotta do something with it. So I got a Sprinter van, just a small Sprinter van, and I have an assistant who drives me around. So, you know, I'm trying to go away from that. I'm sure I'll go through phases and get, you know, maybe another sports car someday. But yeah, I got a Sprinter van, and right now I'm enjoying not necessarily having to drive.
It's nice. Yeah.
It's really nice.
I'm a terrible driver.
I drive too fast everywhere I go. I got a couple Teslas, and those things are just fucking ridiculous. So.
In Arizona, they have those speed light cameras.
They just show up
at your mail, and you're like, fuck, dude.
Yeah. They'll get you. I got pulled over a few times, so I've been trying not to drive as much.
You don't even get pulled over, though. You just get it in the mail. Oh, the camera cut you speeding.
They got you. Yeah, I'm never in Phoenix, like downtown Phoenix or anything. I'm out in, like, you know, Peoria, and then I don't think they have those cameras. At least
yet.
They definitely, yeah. Because I would have gotten about 37 of them so far. But
man, it's insane, man. The classic Snoop footage. I remember, who were you fighting? Were you fighting like Pedro Munoz? And you were like, this is Snoop's message to your girlfriend.
I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. I look back and I'm like, see, I want to keep family out of it.
I like that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snoop, I mean, on the Contender Series, when he, O'Malley, when I knocked out that kid, you know, that really blew me up. Have no followers and you have 15,000 followers, I mean, I was like, holy shit, that was eye-opening. I'm like, damn, this is social media. Mm-hmm. Like, the power of social media. And that was really what kind of shot me into a rocket ship right there. That was crazy.
Yeah, how many times have you seen Snoop since then?
I haven't seen him. Talked to him a few times, you know, over text. He's a part of Happy Dad as well. He's got his Death Row.
Yeah, of course.
Grape flavor. So I've talked to him a few different times here and there. But I don't think I've seen him since though.
Uncle Snoop,
yeah,
dude.
Uncle Snoop, yeah.
What on your Instagram? I follow you on Instagram. It seems like you're smoking reefer a fair amount of the time.
Sometimes, yeah.
And how does that even work? Like, you know, it's perfectly okay to smoke pot, but you can't test positive for it around fights.
I personally quit 3-4 weeks out. I've always done that. I've never had an issue with that. I've never been like, fuck, I'm not going to be able to smoke and fight. Like, I've never had an issue with that. But, yeah, the rule is, I think, you know, in different commissions, it's different levels of testing. But I don't know how it is in Miami. I'm not worried about it because I haven't smoked in a month or so. But Vegas, I think you could pretty much smoke fight week and still pass the test. So they've been way better about that because it's fucking obviously not a performance enhancing drug. It's not a fucking steroid. So they've been cool about that.
What they don't have USADA anymore. What's the whole doping?
It's the same rules, same everything, just not under USADA. It's under Drug Free Sport or some shit. I don't know. I've gotten tested by them already.
Do they still show up as much? As USADA did?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because it's only USADA was however long it has been, and this has been, you know, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it's been. So,
I mean,
I think it's the same, you know, blood work, pee, same shit.
Let's be clear. When you're a fighter in the UFC, they're going to test your blood and your pee for things that should not be in there. But let's talk about the things that should be in there, because I do not go anywhere without my Momentous supplements. I got all my daytime supplements for my cognitive and muscle health, and then I got my nighttime supplements for my sleep and my cognitive health. That is the most trusted stuff out there, and that's what supplements are about, is trust. These are trusted and used by 90% of the teams in the NFL, 200 college sports teams, the United States military. Heck, it's been developed with help from Dr. Andrew Huberman. I mean, I don't trust anything more than my Momentous, and here I am in Miami on my tour bus, and you better believe I don't go anywhere without it. And you can get 20% off your order from Momentous if you go to livemomentous.com and use the promo code Stevo. That's livemomentous.com and use the promo code Stevo. One more time, that's livemomentous.com. Use the promo code Stevo to get 20% off your order of the most trusted supplements out there. I mean, dude, it's not time to start taking chances with our health. So get on the Momentous program and let's get back to it. To look at you, I don't think anybody's suspecting that you're doping in any way.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, definitely not that jacked.
Do they take hair samples too when they test you?
Hair samples?
Yeah.
I don't think they have.
No.
We just had your buddy Russ on. We were.
Oh no shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
We caught him in Atlanta.
Damn. Yeah. Look, oh, that's sweet.
And on the podcast, he said that he like brought up the fights. You know, yep. Like, he's like, I'm gonna be in Miami. I'm doing Sean's after party. Yep. And I was like, why do you think we're going through Atlanta? You know, we're on the way to Miami for the fights.
That's legendary.
Where's the after party at?
It's going to be at 11. It's crazy because Sunday morning at 2 a.m., the time switches to 3 a.m. It's going to be a fucking late night. But, yeah, he's performing. For me, it's legendary. I've been listening to Russ for a long time. Not like a super long time, probably about 5-6 years, but very consistent. Like, I just vibe with his shit. And I feel like we kind of had the similar come up. We're similar age, and so his music really speaks to me. So I feel like it's gonna be a legendary after party.
Dude, I am calling it out that the episode after this one, for everybody listening, next week is Russ. The following episode, mm-hmm. Banger. I got done mm-hmm. with that one. I just thought, wow, that's maybe top three.
Yeah, he's somewhat of a philosopher. He's a smart dude. He's interesting guy. I've listened to him on a few different podcasts, and his music, obviously, you listen to that, you kind of get into someone's mind a little bit. So yeah, I bet that is a banger.
He and I really, really have a similar DIY approaches to you know, creating profiles for ourselves.
Fire.
How's your podcasting and everything going?
Yeah, I mean, Timbo Sugar Show, we've been going for probably almost 6 years or so, 5-6 years. It's been and very consistent. I think we're almost around episode 300-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And, right there, 275 was our last one. We had Adam Ray on.
Damn,
Adam on. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Funny. Yeah, that guy's hilarious.
Yeah, he crushed on our episode, man. Like, he really outperformed what we thought it would be. So I just saw this thing. You guys, you and Timbo were making fun of Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, yep.
a little bit of a viral thing. What's going on there? And do you have any thoughts of boxing?
Well, Ryan went on the MMA hour and just was fucking tweaking, just geeked out of his mind, saying, I want to fight Sean. I'll kick his ass. I wrestled my security guard and I beat him and shit. So Tim and then Oscar went on fucking talk shit saying he wants to fight Dana. So Tim and I just did a little skit, like pretended we were them before we went on the MMA hour. So it was just kind of, you know, little jokes at them. But in reality, I mean, the dude seems like he's off his fucking rocker. I mean, first of all, to call me out is absolutely insane. But just the other shit he's talking about, I'm like, this dude's fucked.
Yeah, and he said he would beat you in MMA.
Yeah, that's literally drugs talking. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh man. It's okay. Here's a tough one. I was thinking about it coming down. Like, I'm actually going to be part of the press media thing. Also, I'm like gonna have like a little station where all the fighters like come by and stop me. You know, a little quick chat type situation. And I thought, well, if I'm in a position where I'm gonna interview all of the fighters at UFC 299, like, what's my angle? And I thought maybe I should try to figure out which fighter is in possession of the most terrible tattoo you know, and asking fighters, do you think that you have a you know, are you in contention for having the worst tattoo? And I please don't take this as a personal attack, but the 6ix9ine tattoo, I think, is in the running.
I appreciate that.
And as a serious question, like, I know that 6ix9ine and Steve will do it, like, kind of fell out of love a little bit, and for understandable reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you at with that? And are we going to get a laser out at any point?
Yes, Steve's my boy, and I guess how it goes, like, 6 kind of fucked him over out of a lot of money. And when we got the 6ix9ine tats, it was, you know, I was in Miami the first time, just knocked out this dude. I'm hanging out with Steve, 6 there, let's get fucking tats. Steve got one, I got one. Now, I actually scheduled something to go and cover it up, but I was like, you know what, I'm so fucking over, like, long sessions and tattoos, so I just got some hand tats. But I did plan on covering it, and then I'm like, what, dude, 6ix9ine, that's a fucking just funny number. It doesn't, you know, 6ix9ine... It is what it is. So
there you go.
I'm not too worried about it. I mean, it'll make, you know, but I appreciate it being on the top of your list.
I mean, I don't know. Like, to be honest, I'm not that familiar with, I don't know about any tattoos. So I'm it's the only one that I'm aware of that's a contender.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
I respect that. I think you handled that that uncomfortable question very, very well. Yeah. And I super respect you just backing it. Yeah, it's a funny number.
It's a 6ix9ine. I mean, it's you get a giggle out of it when you're in high school or when you're in middle school and you get your football jersey. You know, the fucking fat offense lineman's like, I'm gonna get number 6ix9ine. It's like, that's fucking funny. So
yeah,
well, you know, it is what it is. But
where is it again? Ah, okay.
On my shoulder.
On the shoulder.
Yeah,
all right.
It's right there.
I mean, dude, I was pretty ballsy even at the time when it was, I think the same card Connor broke his leg on, maybe. Yeah. And you came out to 6ix9ine.
New unreleased song.
You came out to, you walked out to 6ix9ine music. And, and man, that was like a memorable fight, dude.
Yeah. That's when I beat up
the guy with the green hair.
Yep. Chris Montino. That was crazy.
That was a adorable guy, man.
He was adorable. adorable. No.
felt pretty bad.
Fucking hand still hurts. No, but I do feel bad because he went on a podcast the next week and said he trained 8 days a week for that fight. I'm like, oh, I fucked this dude up. There's only 7 days in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt bad.
I saw couple things just about this fight this weekend. And by the way, this podcast comes out literally tomorrow, so everyone's potentially listening to this within 24 hours of us having this conversation. I saw speculation that Cheeto had a bad camp. Have you heard this?
I saw somewhere Aljo said that he heard he had a bad camp and this could be a very boring fight. I'm like, Aljo, shut up. How could that be a why? What makes anyone in the world think this is going to be a boring fight?
Well,
but I did hear that.
To be fair, what I heard that Aljo said, and courtesy of Full Mount MMA, I watch their daily videos literally every day.
That's funny.
I just love Full Mount MMA. And they reported Aljo saying that Cheeto can win. Cheeto's chance of winning is if the fight is boring.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I didn't look that far into it.
Yeah, he if Cheeto can play it safe, if Cheeto can survive, you know, go the distance, then a boring fight, he could get a decision. It was Aljo's take on it, and I think that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, well, you want to say that because, you know,
slap him.
Yeah, just slept. You guys slept.
But yeah, I mean, as far as him having a bad camp or whatever, you know, it's nothing I can really take into consideration. I have to be prepared for Cheeto at his best. Like, I'm not going to go in there and be, oh, he had a bad camp, I'm going to fucking do anything different. I got to take him as he had a great camp. He's a dangerous guy. You know, I didn't have a great camp against Aljo, and I went out there and put his lights out. So you can't really think too much into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if he says anything, let me know. Jokes, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and then there was even more to it, where Aljo was giving. He said, "Cheeto, if you're listening, This is he's giving him all these tips. Like, look at where Sean had success, you know, like Sean had success countering when people are coming in. So
I really did have success. Wow. What advice.
Yeah, like be careful, don't be reckless, you know, like don't be reckless coming in crazy.
Don't get hit. Yeah. That's good advice. I like that.
Man, I am a fan of yours, brother.
Appreciate it, brother.
I think it would be difficult to not be a fan of Sean O'Malley. And before we meet the terrifying Ecuadorian gangster who is Chito Vera, let me tell you about the ridiculously awesome deal that DraftKings Sportsbook, the official betting partner of the UFC, is offering for UFC 299. If you are a new customer of DraftKings Sportsbook and you make a deposit of $5 or more, then you can get what's called a no-sweat bet up to $1,000. What's a no-sweat bet? Well, it's a bet up to $1,000 that if you lose, they will just let you bet again. They will effectively give you back the money you lost to bet again. That is a ridiculous deal, and it's good for up to $1,000. I mean, bless these guys. Plus, they asked me to make my picks for the main card of UFC 299. And I said, like, how am I going to do that? I'm buddies with Chito and with Sean. But then I said, you know what? Screw it. So let's talk about the main card. The first fight is Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong. And if you think I'm going to bet against a guy whose name is Yadong, you're out of your mind. So I'm going Song Yadong. He's an underdog. I'm picking a lot of underdogs. MVP versus Kevin Holland. This is Michael Venom Page's first fight in the UFC. He's a huge superstar, yet he's an underdog against Kevin Holland. I'm going MVP. Next, we got Gilbert Burns. He's a big underdog against Jack Maddalena. Maybe not a big underdog, but I'm going with the dog, Gilbert Burns. And then what do we got? Dustin Poirier against the God of War, Benoit Saint Denis. Poirier's the underdog. I'm going for Poirier. I love that guy. And then out of my two buddies, you know what? My rationale here is that Marlon Chito Vera defeated Sean O'Malley in their first match, and I'm going with Sean O'Malley to get the win on this one because the world would love to see a trilogy. Isn't that right? So I'm going with Sean O'Malley. But if you're going to do it, then do it with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official betting partner of the UFC. And do it by downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app and using the promo code STEVO. Have a good fun. I can't even tell you. I'm so excited for UFC 299.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, KS. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And now, let's say what's up to Chito Vera. Ladies and gentlemen, people of the universe, I bring to you Marlon Chito Vera.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, dude. Great
good to see you, man. Likewise, brother. Likewise.
Yeah, we've been talking about having you on the podcast for a long time. And what an exciting time. Now you're fighting for the belt.
It's the best time to do it. Ready for a big fight. We got a lot of things to talk, and I'm excited, man. I'm happy, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Let's first remind everybody or let them know how many records you have. I didn't even realize the most octagon time in the bantamweight division, the most finishes, or tied for the most finishes.
I think I'm tied, yeah.
Yeah.
You have, what, 3 hours and 59 minutes in the octagon?
Fuck, I'm a hustler, man.
It's a long time.
This is my 23rd fight, I believe.
Yeah.
In the UFC.
And you've got, you've never been finished. Only losses by decision.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like, I mean, I just give credit to consistency, staying in shape, hard work, and And fucking, when you get there, sometimes a lot of people is ready, but I feel like mentally, they kind of like break or just kind of like, they say, I can live another day.
Yeah.
I don't want to live another day. I want to fucking give my best. And I think that's it. Just immigrant mentality.
We spoke to Michael Chandler about that brutal knockout of Tony Ferguson, where like you see that photo and the foot.
Yeah.
But you came first, your foot to Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, that came like a few weeks before, I believe. Yeah, yeah.
The side by side of your foot and Frankie Edgar's face with Michael Chandler and Tony Ferguson. Like those two images are the craziest.
Those are
images.
Heavy. Those are heavy pictures. Whoever took the picture is an asshole. That's a heavy picture, I know.
I know, and it's only because of video cameras that shoot like thousands of frames per second.
I know. When I saw that picture the next day, I was like, fuck. Like, I was like, that one, I wouldn't even post that one. That's just, that's a fuck you picture right there. That's a heavy one.
Right. So now you just sat down, you brought your own coffee. We've got a drink here. As a fighter, or then this is just
sparkling water. I can drink this. Water, yeah.
But as a fighter, how much are you like, oh, I don't know, like, I'm
very skeptical with a lot of things, but water, and I'm familiar with liquid death, so
yeah.
I drink carbonated water often, especially when you're cutting weight, make you feel more fuel.
Yeah.
But, like, if, let's say, for example, I have a rash or a cut, and you told me, like, use this, I will call USADA before anything. I will call my nutritionist, people that knows ingredients and shit, because that's what people test positive.
Yeah.
And that's on you. Like, if you have a headache and someone gives you a pill, that's on you.
Like, would you have drank that if it was already opened, or because you opened it yourself, you were comfortable drinking it?
100%. If it already opened, I would even touch it. I would toss it.
For sure.
Yeah. Unless it's coming from my friend or someone on my crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it for in front of Steve. Yeah.
I mean, I certainly don't want to. I don't even like talking to fighters before fights. You know, like, this is a little weird for me, but like my friends are fighters, like.
Wait a minute. I remember you talked to him in San Diego.
That's true.
30 seconds before his fight or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, but no, you know what? Like, that's true. But you were headlining a fight night in
San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah, with Cruz.
And yeah, against Dominic Cruz.
I saw you right before the fight.
So
we were pulling into the parking lot and
Steve's, I was like, go get him.
Yeah, Steve's talking to you. I'm like, who's that? He's like, that's Cheeto. I'm like, dude, he's fighting tonight. Like, he's like, yeah, he's ready.
But some calls, you're like, there's like people calling me every other hour. Numbers that I don't even have, right? People just find my phone number and I don't even know what they want. Some people just want an interview. Some people just want to say like, how you doing? But if you're not my family, part of my team, I'm just going to be like pretty zoned out. But if Steve will call you, I mean, you pick up. Steve-O.
Does it say Steve-O?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I have his phone number, so that's pretty rad. Funny story, when I was a kid, my group of friends used to call me Cheeto. So
nice.
That's paying respect, because we used to do stupid shit too.
Yeah.
And then we used to have a camera to film it.
What does Cheeto mean?
Nothing.
That's what the O stands for. Yeah, Steve-O.
That's my nickname when I was a kid, and my mom called me like that since before I know how to speak. So
Cheeto.
Maybe because I'm the smallest one of the whole family. God knows.
You had such an intense run with like the Frankie Edgar knockout. I mean, just every time, like Dominic Cruz was a great one. And then the Corey Sandhagen fight and whatever was your last fight, they started calling you. They started saying Cheeto starts slow, but you didn't used to start slow.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opinion, and sometimes an opinion can get to your head, and then your next fight you go like, okay, I'm gonna show you how fast I can start, and then you go crazy, and then you get hurt, and then you go like, fuck, I should keep my style. I keep it cool. I don't give a fuck what the opinions say. I don't give a fuck what the commentator says. And most of them are my friends, but they also doing their job.
Yeah.
And sometimes they also hear people like, oh, I started slow, all this and that. I'm like, I'm more of a fuck you mentality. I'm like, kiss my ass. I'm going to fight the way I fight. If I win like that, you can suck my dick. Because at the end of the day, they're fun fights. So like, honestly, we just I pay attention to what Perillo says. Perillo says, like, look, dude, you're fine. I mean, you can always start a little, you can always put numbers more together. You can do this. You can always improve. That's for sure. There's always room for improvement. But I'm not going to be like, oh, fuck, they're talking about this and that. I just fight the way I fight. I like to fucking study. I like to, like, dissect things. I like to see the speed. And I have great defense. So if the defense is working, why am I going to, like, change it? Right. I'm not changing that at all. I'm fighting the way I fight.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly didn't start slow when you fought Sean O'Malley the first time.
Yeah.
What do you think about Sean O'Malley that says he's undefeated?
I always ignore it. I was more like, dude, let it go. Forget about it. No one really gives a fuck about it. Like, you went out again and you won a few fights. I went out, won a few fights. I go to fight few main events, so I have experience now. I focus on myself, but all of that, I feel fighters like that, they need to get to your head. They think if they go, fuck you, you suck, you're going to be like, oh, angry. I'm like, dude, I'm from Ecuador. I don't give a fuck what you say. But if we're in this close distance and you say something like that, I'm going to move the mic and kick your ass. But, like, it's just the way I am. Like, I'm nice. I keep it cool.
Yeah.
I won't disrespect anybody just because I'm a fighter. But if you start going crazy on me, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to throw you something. The phone, the coffee, the fucking water. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I heard one. There's an interview that Helwani asked me what was going on before the fight. And, like, they like to, like, scream. This is something they always do. They start talking shit from the far away. And I'm like, how childish is that shit? I'm going to get in a cage with this fucker and you guys are screaming. That's weak to me. I'm like, yeah, cool. If you think that's going to... Good luck trying to, like, get me upset with that.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I just feel like that's a low-level way to, like, get in someone's head. Best way to get in someone's head is punch him straight in the face and be like, I'm ready to fight you. And then what? You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
The last time you guys fought was during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Do you prefer fighting with or without a crowd?
I have a good type of fun on both. With the crowd, it's definitely... The show at it. There's, you know, there's celebrities on the front row. It's a big thing. Every punch, every scramble, the crowd goes crazy. The Apex is just fucking dark and intense. And I like both sides. Yeah. I really enjoy both sides. I think, I mean, kicking Cruz in the head with a full arena was cool. But beating the fuck out of Font in an empty arena was also fun. So I do both. I see a lot of people and fans complaining about, like, delete the Apex, no more Apex. I'm like, I love the Apex.
Yeah.
The Apex was a great setup. And why not?
Are you ever fighting, like, when it's a full arena or, you know, a stadium and you're like, look in the front row, you're like, oh shit, that's Justin Bieber. And then but you're like, oh fuck, I gotta focus.
I really try to don't make eye contact with people because it's definitely, it can get to you. Like, one time I was, like, normally try to find my wife and kind of, like,
yeah,
blew her a kiss or whatever. But in the way through that, I find, like, all these people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I don't want to see my friend right now. Because sometimes they go, like, come on, let's go. I'm like, not right now.
Yeah.
I, like, in San Diego, the first person I make eye contact with was Action Bronson. I was like, oh, hi, I love you too. Okay, we'll talk later, okay?
Yeah.
Them right before, like, I had Rod Machado, like, right in my back. And I'm like, hey, Rob, yeah, I know, I got it. Thank you, appreciate you. But I don't want to be talking to people I know. Like, if it's someone that is just popular, I don't care. But if it's, like, my friend, I'm like, I know you're nervous too, I got it. Don't let me know anything. Cool.
But I was, like, sitting right next to Rob Machado.
Oh, you were there too?
Yeah.
So there's a sick picture of when the fight's over, and, like, Rob is, like, just going crazy after the fight.
Yeah, I
have the picture. So you're probably right next to him.
I'm sure I'm right next to him. Have you ever surfed with Rob Machado?
I haven't surfed yet, but he made me a board, and one of my best boards. And I heard, I don't know if this is a fact, but I heard he handmade that one for me. So when I heard that, I stopped using it. I'm like, that's gonna go to my wall.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
You surfed with my friend Zeke.
Yeah, Zeke is the man. That's my boy. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Zeke.
I know you guys always hang out. Yeah, he's great. I go sometimes to La Jolla to visit them, and they're cool people. And then when they're in town in Newport, they come see me all the time.
Yeah, we got to surf together.
Man. Yeah, we should one day.
I'd love that. You're pretty good at surfing?
I'm pretty decent.
And how's the surf in Ecuador?
It's great, man. It's amazing and uncrowded. There's not a big surf community.
Wow.
Like, sometimes there's spots that they're just not put out there. Like, even Kelly was asking me one day, like, dude, you know this person? He sent me, like, a IG post. I'm like, where is that? I'm like, dude, that's, like, 15 minutes from my house. That's, like, one of the best rides. But surfing is just not a... It's not a... I don't... It's popular in Ecuador, but just, like, sometimes when there's big swells, there's, like, 12 spots, just no one's there.
It's crazy, man. We've traveled the world surfing. We went to Madagascar. Oh, took, wow, like, 4 flights to get there, and then out on a boat in the middle of the ocean, and every wave was crowded.
That, in Ecuador, Ecuador is ready to be explored. I don't know if surfers out there would like what I'm saying, but there's not too much people in the water when it's really good.
The surfers are not going to like saying that.
I'm saying it. They should be supportive of me. I support them too.
Yeah. Now, with all the people talking about fighter pay, it's interesting that different fighters have different opinions. But the fact is that the expense of the camp, and then you gotta pay the coaches, you gotta pay the manager, you gotta pay the agent, you know, like, what is it's tough being a fighter. Didn't somebody just retire just because it's too expensive to fight?
Yeah, but this is how I'm gonna say it. There's a lot of fuck you, Dana, you're too rich, blah blah blah, but also Dana White wasn't born rich. Jesse was friends with the Fertitas, and they help each other. They create an idea, and it's like business. Sometimes you invest in something and becomes nothing, and sometimes look at the UFC right now.
Yeah.
So good job on that for them. That motherfucker is a hustler, and
he's the greatest guy in the world.
That guy is, like, I admire him. Like, a lot of people hate him. A lot of fighters, like, get really bitchy, like, fuck this guy, pay me. I'm like, dude, if you wouldn't go to college, you would have been a fucking office right now. And what you would tell to your shitty boss? Fuck you, you get fired. Yeah. If you work construction and you tell the guy, fuck you, I want 10 more bucks, you get fired. The UFC is probably the only job that you can say fuck you to Dana White and just keep your job. But in my opinion, I tell you my own story. I don't really give a fuck about other fighters, but I tell you my own story. I couldn't move my family from Ecuador, get a house in Newport Beach, invest my money in houses around the States by selling cheese in Ecuador. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By working with my dad in the farm. I wouldn't have this life without the UFC. So did I want more money? 1,000%. I want to pay my coach more? 1,000%. I want to take care of my team? 1,000%. But that's on me. I mean, if I get a big sponsor, I mean, cut pieces to my people. Why not? But fighters always are like, oh, I want to make $10 million. Oh, Canelo make that. Yeah, Canelo is the 1%. Floyd Mayweather is the 1%. Conor McGregor is the 1%. There's no more of those like that. They almost came once every 10 years. And that's just...
Yeah.
So people have used more light and more... not an easy road. They just doing... You know, like, they're freaks. John Jones. They don't come like that every other week. There's a lot of great fighters, there's a lot of champions, there's a lot of people, but it comes with a lot of things. It comes with personalities. You can be asking for a lot if you fucking look like a dry egg. I mean, that's not what's fault if you're not fun, if you don't have a charisma for this shit.
That's fantastic, man.
I love Dana, man. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I want more money, but I think Dana is the shit.
I mean, Dana says it all the time. Everybody wants more. There's no such thing as anybody who doesn't want more money.
And, I mean, who doesn't want more money, right?
Right. So yeah, and I'm not trying to, like, create, you know, controversy or
no, but it's a good question, because some other fighters would probably say, "Fuck him! I need more. I want this. I want that." I'm like, I like to see it this way. You want it, go and get it. You want to get paid? Fucking put some motherfucker upside down, kick him in the face, or beat the fuck out of someone.
Yeah.
Make people excited. Yeah. If you get in there and hug someone for 25 minutes, good luck getting paid in this game.
Yeah, I love that. You know what else I love is when I see you at the fights and you're dressed up in the suit because you're doing the commentary.
I like to do that.
That, like, I mean, fighting careers, they're not forever.
They're not.
You know, like, and it really, it makes me happy. Like, even, like, Dominic Cruz, you know, like, I tell Dominic Cruz that I don't worry about him getting in the octagon and losing, like, you know, like, because he's got himself set up that.
And that's one thing that most athletes don't get it.
Yeah.
They only go like, oh, fuck, I'm the shit. And then 2 years from now, you're like, you're homeless. No one pay attention to you. But you have to understand that. I know before it get to this point, this is going to be gone one day.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the way it is. It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's life. It's just the cycle of it. There's more people doing what you used to do. They do it better. They're more funnier or whatever. They look better doing it, and more population. So it's like, you gotta figure it out while you're the best, how to put something aside for later on.
Yeah, you said that you invest in properties. You have houses.
That's what I do. I'm an investor.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it's just common sense. I mean, if you start to get a decent pay here and there. Don't blow it. I mean,
yeah.
But also the biggest problem with social media today, everybody compare themselves like, holy shit, this guy have like a custom Rolls Royce. I don't like that. I don't grow up liking that. But I like classic cars. I see a Grand National and I fucking my dick gets hard. So it's like, it's different. But it's still like, I do a few things for fun. Like, okay, I like these type of things. I'm going to get them. But in the meantime, I'm like, where I can put my money, where I can go, which states are better for rent or whatever. And I just don't post about it or talk about it because it's silly. You don't see wealthy people going, hey guys, I just get a new restaurant. Like, they just, you know, they just keep moving because it's not about to impress. It's just to keep my family safe the rest of their life. So, I mean, people gotta be more smart out there, I think.
That's fantastic, man. So, like, with the commentating.
I love that. I really love.
So you're the Spanish language commentator. Like, there's different types of Spanish. So do you have, like, that for Spain is different than for Mexico and it's different?
Well, the language is the same, but the accent and some dialects will change. But, for example, I believe when we do the commentary, this is for the U.S. I'm from some South American countries, because other places have fogs, other places have their own, so it's where everybody writes. So I think we're more dominant in the U.S. for ESPN, and then some Spanish countries. But the reason I love it is because I get to watch the fight. If it's up to me, I will go to every single fight card.
Yeah. You have the monitor in front of you? Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
Right up against the octagon.
I mean, it's silly. We're like away from the octagon in a desk. But I mean, just what I do, I just turn my seat around and I watch live.
Yeah.
And I use to speak as it goes, and it's amazing. It's really amazing.
You ever do commentary with Alexa Grasso?
I think
I saw her on the Mexico City.
Yeah, Park. She's been doing it lately. Poncinibio does it. Brandon Moreno does it. I don't think I have. I work more with Brandon and Santiago.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the two main guys that I'm always with sharing the desk.
Yeah, and does commentating pay pretty well?
Not in Spanish. But that's also, it's a Spanish thing. Go back to Ecuador, you won't make too much money.
Yeah.
But my goal is to move to the English side. That's my goal as a commentator.
Okay.
When I retire, I want to do for the English side, so.
For pay-per-views, to get points, like a percentage of the pay-per-view revenue, you have to be the champion.
You have to be the champion.
Yeah.
Challengers don't get it.
Man, you're this close, man.
That close, man. That close. I know.
When you fought Sean O'Malley the first time, like, there's controversy about what happened. Something happened. He hurt himself. Like, as I understand it, it was masterful leg kicking. You got that nerve, and the nerve went out, and that's what happened.
Yeah. That's, I can't explain it other way than that. And I get it. He also tried to put like, I mean, probably he was, he's that cocky that he's like, home, like guys like that, they can take losses like that. I mean, Garvin was a killer. He lost one time and his career went sideways, right? Mm-hmm. Not knocking on him, but there's few guys out there that they're undefeated and they lose one time and
Volk,
they're like...
I mean, see, we're watching it happen to Volk right now.
See how many years with that head kick. The head kick was what took his career away because he was short notice, he wasn't in shape, and that just set you a few years back.
But even a few years back, it's like that's like what the Chuck Liddell. The,
why is it because it like fucks with your timing and shit?
I, bro, it's your brain, dude. If you get your brain shot like that, I'm guessing your brain shut down on its own to protect you.
Yeah.
Because when your body's not used to go there, when you get KO like that, you have to take good time off, do some scans, like figure it out your brain health, and slowly get back to training. You can just think like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fix this. It's your brain, dude. Like, and especially when you get kicked in the face like that, you can just come back like nothing happened.
Mm. Yeah.
That take a few years for your life.
They say that you develop a glass jaw.
That's 100%.
Yeah.
We can get him some Neuralink and he'll be right in there with fucking.
I'm all about health, dude. I do everything, coming from food to machines to just stay healthy, dude.
Yoga.
I do yoga. I use hyperbaric machine. I use CBAC machine.
Cold plunge?
I have one at home. I have a sauna. I just bought a hyperbaric for my own house. I'm all about red light bed. Dude, I spend like an extra 2 hours a day just doing this type of shit. It's tedious because I want to hang out with my family. I want to be with my kids. I want to be present. But also, you don't want to just train, and then use wear and tear.
Right.
Like, I just feel like that helps with everything. It helps with my skin, helps with taking a shot, helps with my brain, with recovery. My organs work well, so.
With the fight being so close, are you still in the gym as much as you can?
Or like right now?
Yeah, like right now.
Like, this week is just hitting me here and there, just keeping the nervous system sparkling, like staying sharp, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Like, the hard work is done.
Yeah.
Because we spar pretty hard. For the last few weeks, so that's really when you really learn how to fight.
Yeah.
I don't care what you do. If you don't spar hard, you're not getting the time in because your timing, your eyes, everything. You don't get that thing looking good hitting the back. Mm-hmm. The hitting the back and hitting me to help for other things, but you need to spar.
Yeah,
and we spar pretty fucking hard.
Are you doing saunas and ice baths this week, or that's out too?
Normally I did my last one the last 2 days. Right before I jump in the plane, I jump in the ice. And this week I do it in my bath. I put like a few bags of ice.
Yeah.
But I do that before and after the wake up. Just to like cool down.
Fuck.
How much weight do you have to cut to make 135?
Like right now, like probably 15 more pounds, something like that.
Wow.
The standard, I will say. Not something that I'm too worried, but something that I still gonna be fucking hard.
Yeah.
And I feel we all do the same. Doesn't matter how you do it,
But what about like, somebody who goes to the weigh-in, and they weigh 3 pounds less than, like, it's obvious that they didn't cut anything.
Right.
So the other fighter has the advantage in that situation.
It does and it don't, because the big guy have a puncher chance in the first round. But after that, he's going to gas. Like, my dream weight will be fight at 155. Not cutting weight, full ribeye, a pound of liver, half avocado with honey, and I would jump to the cage. 155. But fuck, dude, Chandler will probably break my neck. Islam will probably break my legs. I mean, they're just too big because those guys are cutting for 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Most likely. Okay. I met 45ers out of camp that I'm like, holy fuck, don't even come to the gym. I don't want to train with you. Yeah. Like, they're huge. They're like 185.
Ilya Topuria is a big boy.
He's a big guy. So like, when people say like, calling out the bigger guys, I'm like, this is not boxing. Boxers are like similar in weight. These motherfuckers are like you're a kid and those can be adults. Yeah. And especially 35. I walk around 155, 158. That's my healthy, doing everything I can to be healthy weight. And it's fucking gnarly still.
So you're not trying to go up to featherweight?
Fuck no. Especially because I'm not too big for my own weight. I'm tall, I'm lanky. Like, I'm a big 35er.
Yeah.
But I'm not even a decent 45er in terms of weight. Yeah. I'm ballsy. You offer me the money, I fight anybody.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So you gotta, with Sean O'Malley, you gotta, he's gotta get in there, close the distance.
Like, just fight him. Just figure it out. Touch him, and I know one thing. I can dig deep. I know he moves well side to side. He faints a lot. I'm sure he's very athletic. He's quick, but
rangy.
But so do I. We have almost the same length on legs and arms.
Wow.
Like I think he have like half an inch more than me.
All right. So, and you're grappling stronger.
I believe so. I mean, I train with Art of Jiu-Jitsu. Guy Mendes is the fucking best Jiu-Jitsu instructor in the world. And those guys that he have for me there all the time, there's like all world-class Jiu-Jitsu guys. Like, not even, like, I get ragdolled when I'm there. But I'm there often. I'm not there like just for camp. I'm in and out of camp. So I'm good to go everywhere the fight goes. We can grapple, we can clinch, we can wrestle. I'm ready for this fucking fight.
When you're in your corner in between rounds, because maybe your last fight, I'm thinking like, you know, I through the TV, I want to scream like Cheeto, it's the immigrant mentality. Just go, go, go.
In the last fight against Pedro, that you're talking about the Sanhagen fight.
I think it was your last fight.
Last time was Pedro, and I felt in control the whole time. I was using my jab. I was touching with the jab. I was kicking his leg, and I was like, coach told me between rounds, like, try to finish him. He's never been finished, try to finish him. But Pedro is really good at getting, when he gets hurt, he dips his head and starts swinging crazy. Why get caught in exchange like that? I was like, you know what? This tonight, I need to win because they're fighting for the belt in my weight class. If everything goes right, most likely I'm fighting for the belt. So I was being more calculated for business.
Okay.
Because I rewatched the fight with Pedro. I was in control 15 minutes. I used my, like, good boxers that I train with, that I spar with, they text me, dude, the jab was on point. You pimp him. I'm like, I get it. MMA fans, they think that's boring because they want to go blow for blow, no technique, head down, cholo mode. I don't do that.
All right.
I can do that if I have to. If I'm behind, I can say, fuck you, spit on the ground, hold my ground. But if I don't have to, why not? If I don't have to, I just pimp you.
Yeah. Okay, man. Do you pay attention to the betting odds on a fight?
I don't even know where they are. I don't see them. I hear people talking about it. Oh, you're favorite. Oh, you're under. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Like, really doesn't matter to me. It's something that is not in my head.
When Merab just fought Henry Cejudo, did you watch that?
I watched it.
Merab looks scary.
He looked good. Yeah, he looked good. Henry looks old, too.
Yeah.
The second round, he was fully gassed out.
Yeah, I think Henry definitely lost that fight. That was
He lost the fight. It wasn't even close.
Not controversial.
But guys like that, he's pushing to stay in the game. You should retire.
And I'll tell you this. Remember the immigrant mentality.
That's right here. Trust me.
Yeah, that, like, when you're in the corner and if it's going into the fifth round, just look at Sean O'Malley and just think he is a customs person trying to keep you out of the country.
I'm in the border with my kids, pulling the metal. I'm like, okay, that's a great way to see it. Like, motherfucker, I lost my green card, and he's about to kick me out, but. I'm in the river fucking going like,
yeah.
And then I see him at the other side, I'm going like, motherfucker, I go under.
Yeah.
I got it.
Man.
I got it.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, Cheeto, good luck, man.
Appreciate
you,
bro.
And thank you, dude.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, for sure, of course. There you have it, folks. Episode 203 of the Wild Ride podcast. And what can I say, man? We're in Miami. I've never participated in an actual fight week. I've been to a bunch of fights, but like walking around the Fighter Hotel, like all of this crazy media day, you can kind of tell that these guys go through it on fight week, man. Like Sean O'Malley was kind of like quick answers, like, all right, I've done 1,000 interviews, you could tell, and good thing I was prepared to keep it going, keep it moving. The podcasts have been, I feel like, really good lately. And I made a rule that every episode I prepare with like a full list of talking points, which I sneakily look down and check every once in a while. I think it's helped, man. I'm really trying hard to get better at this. And you know what I'm gonna say now. Those of you who stick around to the very end, I love you. I love you so much. We've actually got a couple new things that we're working on. We're gonna get samples for some Wild Ride Street Team merch and Radical Ranch merch. Very excited, and I wanted to tell you guys about it first. I love you. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and be well. Yeah.